Well, Tony, welcome. Your performance, as usual, was just delectable, rich, strong.
Thanks so much, Marcia.
Such passion. It's beautiful. It's lyrical. There aren't enough words. You know, and after all this time, not hearing you live, this is really a super treat.
You know, I haven't heard myself live in a long time.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here, and thank you so much for what you do and what you bring to the community, and presence, really.
It's good to be here.
I want to build on that because of the jazz radio community suffered a tremendous loss just a few days ago with the loss of our brother, Carlton Jackson. And we all know in the community that those are some big shoes to prepare to fill it as an educator and as a griot in our community. Carlton Jackson will be missed. But having said that, Tony has been involved with the jazz radio community too for a number of years.
And his
program is just tremendous.
It's superb.
Wow, can I keep coming back? You guys are great.
Superb. We're only telling you the truth from our hearts.
Yeah, you know, I played with Mel every Wednesday night for over a decade, and occasionally he would sub out the Jimmy Max gig that we did together to Carlton. But I actually started playing with Carlton when I was a teenager.
Oh my!
Way back in the day, you know, playing in blues bands and that kind of a thing.
Wow.
You know. But So anyhow, it's great to be here, and it's great to be back on a scene. I've been out of it since last gig I played was March 15th, 2020. So,
wow.
If I had to choose one to start off with,
this is the perfect one.
This is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're just glad that you're here. And I'd like, you know, we had opening up today was the Youth Orchestra. And
they sounded great.
I thought I was listening to seasoned old musicians.
Wow.
It was so heartwarming that to know that we've got jazzers in good hands, that you have this kind of commitment, that they sound so organic, and it was just wonderful to hear. Young. I think the drummer was like 20.
And that you bring up the word legacy. I know Tony can appreciate this. When we look at pop music today in America, there's more questions than answers.
Yes.
One thing about jazz music, America's classic music, we don't have those problems. We have a torch and we pass that torch on.
Yes.
And they take it and they run with it.
Yes. Absolutely. And Tony, on that point, what is your sense about the future of jazz? Its stability, its resilience, what's your sense on that?
Well, I wasn't prepared for that one, but I am I'm an active mind, so I'll put my intellect to work here. I've been a private piano teacher for about 30 years, and I've performed for about 33 years professionally, and I've seen ups and downs in the music. And I don't know if it's kosher to be political right now, but with all the different movements that are going on that I support, and I'm half Asian, a lot of people don't know that. I was born in Japan. What I see is part of the history of jazz music is part of the history of the United States.
Yes.
It's like saying third planet from the sun, and let me expand on that. Third planet from the sun, we all know this expression because we have to have a solid core planet with an atmosphere and a certain amount of water, and it can't be too far away from the sun, it can't be too close to the sun in order to sustain life. It's a very critical and crucial balance. In the history of the United States, right after the 13 colonies, we had a slave trade that was happening, coming from West Africa. And they had a pit stop on the way, which was in the Caribbean. But the French occupied the middle of the country. And with the Louisiana Purchase, almost like third planet from the sun, a very unique thing came about in that history, which was essentially African rhythms and African blues scales meet Caribbean rhythms and the Creole, and the French Impressionist composers of Europe with their advanced harmonies as the Louisiana Purchase came about. And it was a perfect recipe, just like third planet from the sun, for this incredible music, which is steeped in our history, to come about. And it's a unique thing. And it's universally loved, world loved, but made in America, and it's part of our history. And it's so important that that history is not only perpetuated and talked about. I gave a lecture once, and I showed a picture of a favorite album of mine, Stan Getz, with J.J. Johnson, Live at the Opera House, with the Oscar Peterson Trio as the rhythm section. This is pre-Ed Thigpen on drums, Oscar Peterson Trio. And so what was fascinating about this is this is a very early recording on Verve Records, classic jazz recording. On the cover, you have Stan Getz, who's white, right next to J.J. Johnson, who's black, with Oscar Peterson, who's Canadian. With Herb Ellis, who's a white guy from Texas. You know, and this is pre-civil rights. This is part of, it's just as important today, an album like that, or all the albums, all the history. This music has been exploited, and it's been talked about, but it's always has this underlying issue, you know. Yeah. And it's the same thing that needs to be expanded on.
Tony, you brought us to a very important footnote in the history that you just shared with us, the Louisiana Purchase and the role that Napoleon played and how they had to surrender and sell it. But one of the chief repositories of all of the different influences and flavors of the music that you mentioned was Congo Square. And this is reminding me a lot of Congo Square. And having you here as a performer raises a very fundamental question about what, just as our sister here raised, you know, what do you see in the future of jazz? What does this signal? These people are out here supporting American classic music. They may not understand the underpinnings of the music. We certainly do. And you being an active figure of the music here locally as it continues to develop, what are your thoughts?
It needs to be promoted. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be taught. It needs to be taught at the youngest level. You can't wait until you're a senior in high school and decide to go to music college. Let's start everybody young, not only with the history, but with the performing arts. I mean, it's so crucial that the performing arts are being taught at a young age. Along with the history.
That's I learned it.
We can raise the bar. That's my personal opinion. We can raise the bar.
Absolutely.
But we can only do it if we start at a young age and we actually allow it to be not a zero period before school class.
Yeah.
You know, not something that you pick up in high school. You start early.
You start very early. It's important because it has been said that jazz is the pristine example of a democracy.
Come on.
You have whatever size ensemble it is, whether it's a duo, trio, and so forth, and that everyone gets to have a voice and to express themselves, and then everybody comes back together again to make this beautiful music that just reaches so many people, but it reaches the depths of your heart and soul, because it represents all of our emotions. When you think about the fact that it comes from an oppressed people that really couldn't move in any direction without being told they could go, they found the escape. The escape was this freedom in the creativity of this music, which call and response from the fields, and then went on to the blues, and then into the jazz. It just it washes over you and tells you everything is going to be all right.
You're describing all the reasons why it's so universally loved.
Absolutely. Yes. It's globally. And, you know, I never realized until just a few years ago, actually, that the international community had named jazz as the international music, that it is embraced by the United Nations. UNESCO named April 30th Jazz International Jazz Day. And I didn't know what that meant, and I started researching it, and this is what blew my mind. It was the last year that Barack Obama was in office, America was the international host. You have the global host. The following year, it was Havana, Cuba. And Will Smith walked out on that concert stage in Havana, and he said, after he said, welcome to the International Jazz Festival, it is being viewed by 196 countries. Blew my mind. I went on and I looked up, and in alphabetical order, countries that would never even occur to you that they love jazz are involved in this music because they see it as the music of dignity. They see it as the music of creativity, the music of freedom and respect. And this is why something like this can never die. Those of us, you as a musician and an educator, us as well on the radio, everybody that has anything to do with this music on any level needs to make it their business to always try to do something to further its awareness to others, and especially to the children. Especially. That's how I learned it. My parents were from Harlem, when Harlem was the entertainment capital of the world. I heard that music from my mother's womb. That's all I heard. When I got out, that was what I heard. I mean, that's my first love. You know, when I would go to the some of the bars and things in Harlem as I became a young adult, they had a jukebox. I go over there, and the first thing I was playing, Charlie Parker. I mean, I was hitting it, Dizzy Gillespie and all of it, because that's what I know. Basie, Ellington, all of that. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
That's great to sit here. And I didn't mean it that way. It's great to sit here and be on the air, because that's something I don't know if you guys have been doing that, but you know.
We have actually.
Have you?
Yeah, a number of us. I've been doing it from home, multi-layered and layered and layered, but from home. And playing the jazz, you know, my show is jazz blues and Latin grooves, and that's what jazz is all about, and some gospel thrown in there.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. So, and R&B, you know, just a little tad here and there, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And you feel gratified, you know, even with all the changes since COVID, having to go through all these layers, to do the be able to have a program on the air to keep things going, you still feel gratified that you're doing something to contribute to this important culture.
You know, when I listened to Tony's program on KMHD, I was on KMHD back in 1983, and it's a tremendous experience, but I look forward to listening to Tony's program.
Yes.
And here's why I came up with a question. The vast...
Do I have to brace myself for
this question? No. But the vast majority of American radio listeners and consumers of live music, they don't make this distinction between music as entertainment and music as a healing agent.
Mm-hmm.
So as a jazz announcer, I'd like for you to put your jazz announcing hat on. Now, I know for me as a listener, when I listen to Tony's program and when I listen to your program too, Marcy, I'm getting ready to be healed.
Yeah.
Billy Higgins, when he's in Leimert Park, he said this about jazz music. He says, it's sanctified intelligence.
Yes.
Tony, hearing that, where do you think you fit into that whole ideal of jazz music or music as a healing agent in society?
That's a really tough question, quite honestly. But if I answer from my gut and what comes to mind with my students, you know, I tell them all the time that, like you said, music is often viewed by a large demographic as something that's like a commodity. It's like water. Water. You turn on the tap, and there it is. And you don't think twice about it. You get yourself a glass of water. But before, all the infrastructure that went into allowing you to turn the tap on and just have water wet your fingertips, you know, think back to digging a well, hoping that you find water. Music has become such a commodity as opposed to a higher level of intelligence, which is something that can be taught with polyphonic sophistication. I mean, music that has polyphonic sophistication is going to come from one of two places, but one of those places is going to be in the straight ahead jazz tradition. And what I'm talking about is not one or two chords, but a multitude of chords and a chord progression that is happening every two beats, in some cases throughout an entire song. And it's not a three note chord, it's not a four note chord, It's a seven-note chord happening with a bunch of other seven-note chords. That polyphonic sophistication paired with the rhythm, in addition to the melodic content, in addition to a language full of dialects of improvisation, that is actual musical sophistication. And that musical sophistication, not only is it a beautiful thing that shouldn't be missed, if somebody doesn't learn it, they might miss part of that, but it doesn't mean that they can't be a part of it.
Yes.
And so to tap into what you were saying about the feeling of it too, it's all part of the progression of things that need to be perpetuated. That I'm a big advocate for raising the bar. You know, oftentimes we musically raising the bar. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why, for example, you see in newspaper articles all the time, or not recently, there's been all kinds of other news in newspaper articles, but you used to see these articles where they would test teenagers and literacy all around the world. And then it would say, you know, Germany ranks 94%, whatever, and mathematics, you know, goes to Denmark this year or whatever. They never test music.
Yeah. No.
They never test music.
No.
That's something.
You know?
And that's too bad.
We can raise the bar.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And jazz music is one of the most sophisticated musics. And it could be, like I said, it doesn't mean somebody can't enjoy it if they're not educated.
Mm-hmm.
But we can raise the bar just like we can in so many other arenas in this country by just raising the bar. Let's just teach. Mm-hmm. Let's teach it.
It reminds me of Johns Hopkins did a test in 2008. Typically what they would do, 5 minutes, okay. Typically what they would do is photograph the minds of people in activities. And they would just take snapshots and just to study the brain and see how it would go.
Yes.
And what it looked like, etc. Well, this one time they decided that they were going to do this, but instead of taking photographs, they wanted to film it. So they had a classical pianist, R&B, rock and roll, and they had jazz. Well, jazz, it turned out, was the only genre that made the brain glow.
Well, firing in multiple areas of the brain. There's something that...
Wow.
That's Johns Hopkins.
I'm going to talk...
It's called Your Brain on Jazz.
Wow.
I know what you're talking about. There's actually video...
my God.
Because of improv, skill,
yes,
creativity, on the fly.
Part of that comes from early malleability, though, if I can talk outside of my specialty just for a moment, but it's relative. I'm going to try to put a shout out to all the young parents out there of young children, because it's proven that the mind is very malleable at a young age.
Yes.
We know that the brain is the last organ in the human body to fully mature. It happens at the age of the 20s. And so when the mind is very malleable at a young age, this is the time where parents need to have their children studying music, and not just for a year or two, for a long time, because it's physically going to change their brain. The corpus callosum, the bridge between the two hemispheres of the brain, is going to have to widen to allow the firing between both sides of the brain to happen, especially if somebody's playing a polyphonic instrument.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they have to stay on the piano or the guitar forever. They could switch to trumpet down the road. But if they have to literally fire up centers of the brain with communication, language, you know, the interpretation of the feedback loop, the editing of hearing what's happening and then processing what they're hearing as either correct or incorrect, and the physical ability to do it all, that all that happening with music at a young, malleable age is what's going to produce an adult that's going to stick their head in an MRI for John Hopkins, and it's going to light up.
Exactly.
You know.
So beautiful.
Exactly.
Well said.
Well, we so appreciate you coming in 2 minutes.
I wanted to stick a real quick question in to Tony, because he brought the term raise the bar. And when I expand that out into American popular music and rap music in particular, with the one beat and the robot is producing it, It's just one song playing in Young America and different artists spewing their tales. How do we, or can we, Tony, even communicate that question about raising the bar? Because music is a healing agent. I'm not sure a lot of healing is going on when every other word is about something that's underbelly, something that's promoting the worst sensibilities, the worst instincts in the human versus the uplift, the sanctified soul that you talked about, that our sister brought up. Any closing thoughts on that and how we could raise the bar in a broader sense as music is produced in America?
I think cross-pollination is part of it. I don't like to, I'm going to put myself out on a limb here as a professional musician, but also as an educator. I don't like to brand any new cross-pollination as a new form of music. In other words, what I try to emphasize is that truly, something that's truly how would I describe it? Something that's genuinely creative isn't necessarily something brand spanking new. Wow. It could be a reorganization.
Wow. Yes.
Well said.
You know.
Yes.
So cross-pollination. You know, if I took ska and Dixieland music and added it to, you know, Bach,
yeah.
I'm not gonna call it, you know,
right.
some funny name and say it's the latest thing since sliced cheese. You
yeah.
know, I mean, I'm gonna, you know, but cross pollination is probably the key because
yeah.
it's the attempts of innovation. That was the word I was looking for. It's the attempts of innovation. The actual innovators were the people that were trying so many times and failed so many times that actually innovated.
Innovated, right.
So
right.
the attempts of cross-pollination to innovate will probably get to that spot
yeah.
with the decorum, if you will,
yes.
for what you're looking for. Yeah.
Well, we so appreciate you coming and joining us. Thank you for
having me.
Thank you for the blessing of
yes.
your music.
Oh,
thank you for the blessing of your radio program.
Yes.
Thank you for the education. Thank you for it all. Thank you, Tony Piccini.
Thank you very much.